Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today we are beginning my seventh week of teaching on a subject about healing. I've got this teaching entitled, God Wants You Well. This is a book that I have. It's also a study guide that was designed to take the truths in this book and use it so you could disciple others. We've got CDs, DVDs, and then we've got four albums on healing with five testimonies on each one of these about people who've been miraculously healed. And I've been playing these throughout this series. Let me just say that this is the beginning of our seventh week of teaching, and this is going to be my final week of teaching on this. I could actually continue to teach for just a very, very long time because there's so many other things. Like, we could talk about the authority of the believer. I've got a teaching on You've Already Got It, which if some of you were paying attention, we played a video about the healing of Mike Hesh. He's the man that had that tumor, cancer on his chest. Right here, it was huge. It was the size of, you know, both of your fists doubled up. And he was healed by listening to my teaching on You've Already Got It, which, you know, is a supplement to this. Also, my teaching on prayer. There are so many people that pray wrong. And so there's all kinds of things. We could just continue to teach forever, but this is going to be my last week to teach specifically on the subject of healing, but that's not because I've exhausted the subject. As a matter of fact, let me just point out that we have this little MP3, it's a USB port, and there's 43 hours worth of healing-related teaching that I have, and this thing is just a tremendous, tremendous way to get hold of these truths. So anyway, this is our last week to be offering all of these materials, and I really would like to encourage you to go to the effort of requesting this. We have a couple of different offers of different ways that you can get these things. Plus, I have a little magazine or a short pamphlet type of thing that has scriptures on healing that is a free gift to you. And they'll be making all of those announcements at the end of our program today. What I want to do this week is talk about a concept that a lot of people don't have. And I think it is absolutely essential if you're going to walk in healing, and that is that you need to have this attitude about the laws that govern faith. Now, that is easy to say, but a lot of people don't have this concept at all. Most people actually believe that God just, you know, is in heaven, and He looks at you, and when you come to Him with a need, if you need a healing in your body, that God kind of looks at you, evaluates you on whatever criteria. Different groups will have different criteria. But if you're holy enough, if you're strong enough in faith, if you've been studying the Word, if you've done this and this and this, and He evaluates you, and if you get healed, it's because you passed the evaluation. And if you don't get healed, it's God. He just chose not to heal you for whatever reason. That is not how healing works at all. There are laws that govern healing. There are laws that govern faith. There are laws that govern how the kingdom of God works. And to me, this is essential that you understand this, because see, in the natural realm, there are laws that govern this natural realm. God created them. And we understand this, and we live by them. You know, if a person walks off of the Empire State Building, there is a law of gravity, and that gravity is going to cause them to fall to the ground, and it will kill them. And we understand that. And if somebody was to, you know, walk off of a super tall building and get killed by it, nobody's going to blame God for that, because there was just a natural law that happened. We understand that. But in the spiritual realm, people don't understand that God created spiritual laws. There are laws that govern the kingdom of heaven and how it operates. And God, you could say, will not violate those laws, but it's also proper to say He cannot violate His spiritual laws because He has integrity. And when He says that this is the way something is going to be, He binds Himself by His Word. Psalms 138 verse 2 says that God has exalted His Word even above His name. The name of Jesus is so powerful that every knee is going to bow. It's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even greater than His name is His Word. He will not violate His Word. When He says in James chapter 4, verse 7, that you resist the devil and he will flee from you, then God has bound Himself by that Word. And He said He gave you authority to resist the devil. And if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now, if you don't do your part, if you don't resist the devil, if you are cooperating with the devil, whether it's intentional or through ignorance, but if you are in agreement with the devil and not resisting him, then God's power cannot flow in your behalf. And you know, there's a lot of religious people that the statements that I've made here are very offensive to them because they believe, well, God's sovereign. He can do anything He wants to. God is so sovereign that He has done what He's wanted to do, and He has told us that He will not violate this Word. He has said that it cannot lie, and when God says something in His Word, it becomes binding on Him. It puts a limitation on what He can do in your life. And so people who sit there and say, you know, if a person dies, and they say, well, I don't know why this person died. I don't know why God, if God wanted to, He could have healed that person. No, He couldn't. Because there are laws that govern how God operates, and they are dependent upon us cooperating with Him. Let me just take a passage of Scripture. I'm sure I've used this during this series on healing at some time or another. But in Mark chapter 6, and in verse 5, this is where Jesus was in His hometown and He was preaching in the synagogue, and the people were offended because they knew Him as a little kid. They had seen Him grow up and they were offended. And they said, aren't His mother and His brothers and His sisters here? And they were offended because they only knew Him as the carpenter's son. They didn't know Him as the Son of God manifest and this powerful man of God that was ministering and these miracles were happening. And so they took offense. And here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And in verse 5 it says, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, let me compare that with Matthew chapter 13. This is the exact same passage. It's the same story, just related by two different gospel writers. And here's the way it was stated in Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 57. It says, they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So Matthew says he didn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. In Mark's account, it says he could there do no mighty work. And again, it was because of their unbelief. So the reason I'm emphasizing this is to say, it didn't say that he wouldn't do it. It wasn't God who got ticked off and says, you know what, I'm not going to do anything for you guys. No, he wanted to do mighty works, but he couldn't do them because of their unbelief. Now, this is a huge statement because Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus wasn't just a man who was having faith in God. He was God manifest in the flesh, and he had the Spirit without measure. He was operating in the power of God as perfectly as anyone possibly could because he was God in the flesh, and yet he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Now, if Jesus, who had no limitations upon him, was limited by other people's unbelief, then I can guarantee you that we are limited by those same things. You have to acknowledge that other people have to cooperate. Other people have to be receptive. And so I say all of these things to say that, see, it's not just up to God whether a person gets healed. God has already provided healing for everyone. I've already taught on this, that healing is a part of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, that at the same time that He forgave our sins, He also healed our body. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His stripes we were healed. It's already been done. God has already made the provision. He's already generated the power. He put this authority on the inside of us. Matthew chapter 10 says that we have authority over all sickness, over all diseases, over all demons to cast them out. He gave us a command to go heal the sick. Matthew chapter 10, I believe it's verse 8, He told us to heal the sick. Now, it's understood that it's not our power, it's His power, but it's in us, and we have to heal the sick. And if we don't do our part, and if the person we're praying for doesn't have some degree of faith in order to receive, this limits what God can do. And so the points that I'm making are that, see, just in the natural realm, there are laws like gravity and things like this. There are laws that control how God's healing power flows. And if you are ignorant of these laws, or if you violate those laws, the power of God will not work in your life. And to me, this is just profound, because I heard so many people, I've been to so many funerals where a person, you know, just is in desperation saying, you know, I just don't understand God. He could have healed this person if He wanted to. That's not true. I can guarantee you the Scripture reveals to us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want people to perish spiritually and die and go to hell, or physically. He does not want us sick. God is not the one putting sickness upon people, but He is limited in what He can do. He has to flow through us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think." And I've been in churches, I've done this hundreds of times, and I've said, "How many of you believe that?" And everybody will put their hand up and go, "Yes." And I'll say, "That's not true." And they're just shocked, like, "What are you saying?" And I say, "Go on and read the rest of the verse." It says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." See, that changes the whole thing. God is able to do these awesome things, but it's according to the power that is working in you. If there isn't any power working in you, then you limit what God is able to do. And so you've got to get this concept that God is almighty, that God wants everyone well. That is true. But there are laws that govern how His power flows. And if you violate those laws, whether it's through ignorance or if it's through direct disobedience, you can stop the power of God. You know, there is a law of electricity in the natural realm. And did you know that electricity has been around since God created the heavens and the earth? Electricity isn't something that just came into being in the last couple of hundred years. It's been here since the dawn of creation. You know, in Colorado, because we have very low humidity and stuff, you can walk around on carpet and you reach out and touch a doorknob or something like that, and I guarantee you sparks fly. That static electricity has been a part of creation since God created it. It's always been here. I read a scientific thing one time, and they said that in a typical lightning storm, there is enough electricity to power New York City's electrical needs for a year. So, I mean, electricity has been around. As long as there's been rain, as long as there's been thunderstorms, there has been electricity. And did you know that it wasn't that God just created the laws of electricity in the last 100, 200 years? It's the fact that people just discovered how electricity worked and discovered how to harness it and discovered how to generate electricity. But God, it wasn't the fact that God just, you know, somehow or another made this available in the recent history. It was us that we didn't understand these laws, and it was the ignorance of mankind that kept them from using electricity. Adam and Eve could have had electricity. They could have had air-conditioned houses. It's not God that just made this available recently. It was man that just discovered these laws. And so, in a sense, you could say that it was the ignorance of mankind that caused them to live without electricity for all this time. And I know that by be saying that, there's some people that you don't like to think that you're ignorant about anything. We like to think that we are so enlightened and stuff, and it's offensive to people if I say that, you know, it's our ignorance that's keeping us from tapping into these laws of healing, and there's people that take offense at that. But whether you're offended or not, I'm telling you, it's the truth that most of us are spiritually illiterate, spiritually ignorant. Most Christians do not understand the kingdom of God and how it works. They don't even have this concept that there are laws. Again, they just think, well, God could do this if He wants to. They don't understand that there are laws that govern how things work. In the natural realm, we've come to accept this. But in the spiritual realm, we think God could just move if He wanted to. Nope, that's not true, because He set down laws and He gave us an instruction manual that tells us how the kingdom works. And if we don't know what the Word of God teaches, it's not God who's at fault, it's us. You know, I can liken this to, electricity. You've got electricity piped into your house, into your office, wherever you are. And the power company generates this electricity. They deliver it to your home, but it's under your command. And if you want your lights turned on, you don't call the electric company and beg them to turn on your lights and say, you know, I've got people coming over. I need my electricity. I've got to cook food. I need lights on. I need all of this. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter how desperate it is. You can call the electric company all you want to and beg them to turn on your electricity. They aren't going to do it. They deliver it into your home, and there's a switch on the wall, and you have to go over there and flip that switch. It's at your command. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11, where the Lord said, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Now, that doesn't mean that we can command God to do things, that God is my servant and that He responds to me and I can make Him do whatever I want to. That's not it. That's not true anymore than you can sit there and make electricity do whatever. You have to operate within the laws of electricity and how it works. But it is delivered to your home and it's at your command. In that same way, God has generated His power. He's provided healing for everyone, and He's placed it at your command. And you have to understand these laws, and you have to take this position of authority, and you have to speak with authority, and you have to release this healing power of God. You could beg all you want to, and you aren't going to get well from begging. You aren't going to get well because your situation is desperate. And if you just get, pitiful enough and beg God enough and cry enough, then God is going to be moved with compassion. God was moved with compassion before you ever existed, before you ever had the sickness. And He put all of your sickness and all of your disease upon His Son, and He's already paid for your healing. God has already been moved with compassion, but now there are laws that govern how this power that He has provided, this healing power, how it works. And if you don't learn what these laws are and use them, you could die and be pitiful and God love you, but it is not going to cause the power of God to flow. Look at this verse in Romans chapter 3 and in verse 27. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And there's other places in Scripture. I'm just using this as kind of a proof text just to make this point that there are laws that govern faith. There are laws that work in the spiritual realm just as surely as there are physical natural laws. If you want your electricity turned on in your house, you go flip the switch and you are commanding that electricity. Does that mean that you are superior to that electricity? Does that mean that somehow or another the electric company just bows to every whim that you have? No, they generate the power. They want you to use it, but it's at your command. You have to release it. You aren't the source of that electricity. You could put a light bulb in your mouth and it'll never turn on. Amen. You are not the source of this power, but this power is at your command. And until you get to where you understand that there are laws that govern electricity and learn how to flip the switch, it's not going to come on. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, you are not the source of healing. God is the source of healing, but He's placed this power on the inside of you. Every born-again believer has this power source on the inside of them, and it is at your command. And you have to learn what these laws are that turn on and release the power of God. And if you don't see the power of God flow, don't doubt the laws. Don't sit there and criticize the source and say, well, they just didn't turn on the power. That would be as silly as a person who is sitting in the dark and saying, the electric company will not turn my lights on. The electric company isn't responsible for turning your lights on. They generate the power. It's at your command. You have to go over there and flip the switch and make it work. Likewise, God has put this power on the inside of us, but there are things you can do that will release this power. And ignorance of those things is going to stop you from receiving healing. And I'm telling you again, most Christians are spiritually illiterate. They are ignorant of the things of God. They don't understand this concept. And so they pray and they just throw their prayer out there and say, Lord, if it be your will, heal me. You know, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I just am running out of time on today's program. I got to be blunt. I'm just telling you that that is ignorant. That is not the way you get healed. You don't say, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. The scripture is already revealed. Like in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God's Word has revealed His will. Once His will has been made known, you can't say, if it's your will. That's unbelief. You're praying contrary to the Word of God. You can't wait on God to just release healing. And if you get healed, well, it must have been God's will. If you don't get healed, we wonder why God didn't heal them. There's no wonder about why God doesn't heal people. It's because people don't understand how healing works. They may be desiring it. They may be wonderful people. They may love God. They may love people. They may be sweet. They may be kind. And they're going to die if they don't learn how to flip the switch and release the power. To me, this is so important because all of us have seen people who have prayed for healing that don't receive it. And they just continue to suffer or they die. And the question comes up. Why did this happen? And the immediate thing that 90-something percent of the people are going to say is, well, God just chose not to heal them. If He wanted to, He could have healed them. We don't know. God works in mysterious ways, and we just blame it on God. I'm telling you, the Word of God reveals that Jesus has already healed us. By His stripes, we were healed. It is not God who's not healing people. It's people who aren't receiving, and there are various reasons why they don't receive, but none of them have to do with God just sovereignly choosing not to heal one person and choosing to heal another. It's because there are laws that control and govern how the kingdom of God works, and if you don't know what those laws are, they're going to prevent you from receiving this healing power of God. So this week, I want to just start talking about some of the laws that govern how healing works. I'm out of time today, but again, let me just mention that I have this book that goes into all of this in much more detail. I have a study guide that goes with it. We've got CDs, DVDs. We've got four DVDs of healing testimonies that are just tremendous. And then we have a little pamphlet that we're giving out on God Wants You Well. And also this MP3 that has 43 hours worth of teaching on it. Our announcer will give you all this information. Remember, this is our last week to make these products available. So please call or write today.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his booklet titled, God Wants You Well. You can get your free copy by going to awmi.net and clicking on Today's TV Offer. Today's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available as part of the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on your choice of CD or, as seen on TV, DVD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's audio teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 38 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268, but you can get them all on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled The Laws of Faith. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
The desert oasis of Tucson, Arizona. Here, Mike and Caroline Hesch joined a non-denominational church, submitting themselves to a strong-willed pastor. In time, they became victims of religious ideas as malignant as the tumor that threatened to consume both of their lives.
I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that things in my body weren't working right. And then this thing that it was growing, it grew off what I call it a tentacle, or like this arm I could see like growing out underneath my skin in there and spreading out. And it was nasty. It was just like a manifestation of the devil. He was just sucking my life out. He's stealing away my happiness and my joy. I do have to say though that it was all by my consent, because I didn't take a stand against him, you know.
And at that point, Mike was so sick, I don't know if I'm going to come home and find him alive.
For 8 years, Mike Hesch believed and prayed for his healing, with no results. In desperation, he finally drew a line in the sand between the Word of God and his own unstable thinking. He chose to believe the Word.
It was gone. You know, I'm healed. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. That's it.
Andrew's teaching confirmed and encouraged him, and the malignant tumor disappeared in 7 months.